Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I'm a Messianic pastor, a rabbi, and our quest, as most of you may already know, is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, and for most of us on this call, our spiritual husband, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Now, at this time, I have the honor and the pleasure to welcome the other half of our co-host, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, everyone, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. Truly, it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 60th show, and we will continue to address the question of what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Thank All right. You. Okay. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for just allowing us the opportunity to just submit ourselves to you and allow your words to be spoken, your words to begin to permeate not only our hearts and minds, but the hearts and minds of those who desire to know and understand and apply the answers to the question that's been posed to us. Father, we thank you for being faithful. Even when we in ourselves and by ourselves don't measure up and don't reach the height of obedience that you desire and submission and commitment to that submission to your word. Father, we thank you for that. Yahushua, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. And we submit this to you. We submit this time to you. We submit this opportunity to speak life. Not our life, but your life. Help us that are speaking this particular life on this broadcast to live exactly what we're saying, exactly what you're giving us to say to those to whom you desire to live abundantly in the anointing of the life that you've given to them. We thank you for that, Father, and we glorify you in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tanita, if you could wrap us up and just kind of give us a quick overview of where we are and where we're headed in this particular segment of this teaching pertaining to that question.
Amen. Okay. Again, this we're addressing the question, what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold, according to Matthew chapter 24? Last show, we begin in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, where it talks about the love of the world, which is dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And what you were sharing with us, Rabbi, is how important fasting is. And if we fast at least twice a week, it'll help us to be more sensitive to Yah as well as demonic activity, and how we should make this a lifestyle, and that your faith is marked by your love. You pointed to us how Yeshua, Jesus, maximized his love and his faith in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when he was tempted in three different acts of temptation. And, of course, this occurred after his water baptism in Matthew chapter 3. What you pointed out to us is that in verses 3 through 4, this is where Yeshua was tested with the lust of the flesh with the bread. In verses 5 through 7, he was tested with the pride of life with his own life. In verses 8 through 10, he was tested with the lust of the eyes when Satan showed him the kingdom of Israel as well as the world. You were letting us know how important fasting is when it comes to our armament, and how it keeps us, to help us to keep ourselves strengthened. You also pointed out in Isaiah chapter 58 that there's an appropriate way of fasting and a not appropriate way of fasting. And in those verses, verses 1 through 5 talks about the way of not fasting, and then 6 through 14 deals with the effective way of fasting. two things that you tell us that helps with our armament is not just fasting, but keeping the Sabbath, submitting to it, honoring Him, Yah, and doing what is desirable for the Lord, and placing that above anything, and strengthening our love. And then in closing, you pointed out 1 John 5:3, to strive to walk in Torah. And as we strive to walk in Torah, we will walk in love. You went to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and you were pointing out to us the things that are good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yah. In conclusion, we didn't get to read it, but we stopped at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, and this chapter specifically dealing with how to be from the sin dwelling within. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. That was excellent. Now, for those of you that may, this may be one of your first few that you've, as far as Block Talk Radio's sessions, it's imperative that you understand that we are New Testament believers, but we also know that in being New Testament believers, as some of us coin us to as being, that the Old Testament is not done away with at all. As a matter of fact, they complement one another, and the relationship, my relationship with Yeshua, complements or should complement my relationship with the Father and fulfilling the Father's commands, because those, me fulfilling, desiring to fulfill those commands, also what they actually do is they actually show that I do indeed in action, not word only, but in action, that I love Him. No different than with me and my wife, me being faithful to my wife, submitting myself to my wife, like the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, when it says, well, actually even earlier than that, in verse 21 and 22, when it says, submit one to another. When we submit ourselves as husband and wife, one to another, then we are enacting the actual word love. When we don't submit ourselves one to another, then the love that we say that we have is, not only is it false, but it will only manifest hatred and strife and enmity with one another. And that enmity is something that we're going to be talking about, because we're going to be reading Romans chapter 8. And when we begin to go into it, you're going to see that the desires of this world causes enmity in our, it causes enmity between us and God. It causes a divide. It causes a war from within. Because when we begin to manifest the works of the flesh, when I say the works of the flesh, oftentimes people unfortunately get that confused with the body. It has absolutely nothing to do with the body. It has everything to do with the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. It has to do with the real you, if you will. Okay? It's important that we understand that, because we can't say that, you know, well, it's my body that made me do it, or it's the devil that made me do it. No, it's you, the mind. It went into your mind. Then your will decided to open the door. The door was closed to sin. But you decided, I decided, to open the door. Once that door is open, then sin will come in. And when it comes in, it attaches itself. It attaches itself to your emotions so that it can begin to control your body. Now, this is imperative that we get this. It's imperative that we understand it, because as we begin to understand the cycle, then that helps, or should help us to begin to take ownership of areas in our life that we need to apply self-control. That's the reason why fasting is so important, because fasting begins to break that demonic cycle, the negative cycle, and begins to set you free to make righteous and holy choices, as opposed to being, you know, addicted to those choices that are not of God, that cause division, that cause enmity, that cause demonic activity to come into your house. This is a guideline. This is a rule that the Father had established and even began to explain to Cain. Okay, we're going to keep our hand or finger where we are here in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. But we're going to jump over to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, because in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, this is where Cain has already killed Abel, and Cain is literally trying to hide something from the Father God. And the Father God is having a conversation with him. Okay? Question. I retract that. He hasn't killed him yet, but he's about to. And the Father is trying to warn him and trying to guide him into understanding how walking or stepping or falling in sin actually works, so that he could be strong enough to fight off the temptation, the desire, the urge, the craving, if you will. And that is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And yes. Evangelist Anita, if you have that, if you can go ahead and read.
Yes. I'll read the New King James Version. If you do well, mm-hmm. will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.
Okay, now before you read the other one of the things I want to make sure that everybody understands is with the Father God, it's what you do. Yes, you do think about it, you know, but it's the action that causes a reaction. So it's the action of disobedience that caused the reaction that the Father had to step in and deal with Cain, which he had not sinned yet. Okay, I want to make sure that's clear. He had not sinned yet, but his offering was not accepted. And it was not the Father's fault that the offering was not accepted. Cain knew what he should have brought, but decided to bring a different offering. So that's important to understand. So now the Father's speaking to him, and he's saying, look, you know, you brought the wrong offering. If you go back and bring the right offering, will I not accept it? Of course I will. Okay? But right now you're dealing with an attitude of pride because you've been hurt, because you chose to bring this. So now you need to be careful, because sin is is knocking at your door. It's already entered your mind. It's already there. But now sin is beginning to have a conversation with your will. And it's up to you to keep the door closed. It's up to you to keep the door locked. You don't have to look through the peephole to figure out, all right, who is that on the other, outside knocking at the door. I know who it is. Why? Because it's already entered my mind. I did not cast down the thought. I did not take the thought captive. So now it's hammering away, trying to cause my will to succumb to its desire, so that its desire becomes my desire. Okay? So when we begin to read, we'll go from there and go back to Romans chapter 8 in verse 1 through 9. Now keep in mind, you know, during Paul's time, they didn't have chapters and they didn't have verses. So this particular passage is connected. It's chapter 8 is connected with the latter part of chapter 7. I mean, realistically, we should read chapter 7 starting at probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 and then begin to bring that all the way up to and include chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And the reason why is because in the first part of chapter 8, verse 9, it says, therefore. And we know we've got to go back to find out what the therefore is actually focusing on. And what it's focusing on is the fact that Paul, speaking about himself, approximately 20 years in the ministry, was still fighting areas in his flesh, like we all do. And so with that, he was saying, there's two Torahs, there's two laws I'm finding in me, the law of sin and death and the law of righteousness. or the law of God. Mm-hmm. And what he was trying to convey to the Romans was the fact that you need to understand the war that happens within my members, within my mind, and within my heart. And this war is what is trying, is the same war that Cain had to fight and lost. And he's saying, he being Paul here, is saying, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. In other words, I am prone to fall. I'm prone to fail. Yeah, I've been 20 years in the ministry, but yet the struggles still drag on, and it is trying to cause me to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, who can help me? Who can deliver me? Who can keep me from falling? And then he mentions Yeshua. He mentions Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ doesn't, he doesn't nullify the Torah of righteousness. But what he does is, nor does he nullify the Torah of sin and death. What he does is he dies for the sin and death, or the penalty of that sin, that we would have to fulfill. And then he gives, in the place of that penalty, in the place of that curse, in the place of Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15 through 68, the curses, in the place of that, he puts the law of the Spirit, or the law of life.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about this exact same law, replacement. When he started talking in Matthew chapter 5, when he started making analogies, at first he did the Beatitudes, and then he began, in verse 20-21, he begins to make analogies. And he begins to show us, all right, this is what Torah says. This is what the Father is expecting of you. But I'm saying to you, not only do this, not only do the Torah portion, that you already know that you've been taught from a child. But also, I'm giving you a different Torah, but yet it's the same Torah. I'm giving you the Torah with your heart. Father gave you a Torah based upon do's and don'ts. Those are actions. Those are based upon the things that you do. And it doesn't oftentimes give you the penalty if you think a thought.
Mm-hmm.
But that I am giving you, on top of that do's and don'ts, I'm giving you a Torah of the mind, a Torah of the heart. So that in your mind, if you imagine vain things, in your mind, if you think about these things, you never did it, but you thought on this. You lusted in your heart. You did whatever in your heart. Then that sin is applied to your heart, because I have given you a law in the replacement of the law of sin and death. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and go back and begin to read Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Start with 14. And what's beautiful about this is we're going to also get a good understanding of how positive and how good Paul thought of Torah, thought of the law. Okay? But then when we get to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, you're going to begin to see that he's going to say, therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when he begins to break that down, he's talking about the law of the Spirit of life. What Spirit? The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. What Christ has done to replace, for those of us who are obedient in his law, to replace the law of sin and death that's found in the original Torah. Okay, if you go ahead and read that, Evangelist Anita, starting at Romans chapter 7, verse 14.
Okay. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. for what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that concludes chapter 7. Do you want me to continue with verse 1, Rabbi, chapter 8?
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead into verse 1. Right. And I do apologize for the disruption in the background. Go ahead.
All right. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
All right, stop for just a second. Stop for just a second. It's imperative for us to understand that that law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it makes us free as we are obedient to that law. Okay, I want to make sure that that is abundantly clear. Just because we read the scriptures and just because of his death, burial, and resurrection, that does not mean that because of what he did, I am free of the things that I do now.
I mean it.
This is important to understand. I am free from the penalty of sin and death when I accept him into my life. But after I accept him into my life, I am expected to walk according to his law that he died for. He died for me to cause a different law. This is the law that's talked about in Romans chapter 8. If I choose to be free from the penalty of a crime, and I have someone pay the time, do the time for me, and then I am free from prison, so I walk out of the jail cell, and then decide to continue my acts of crime, connect back with the same guys that helped to get me in prison, and begin to fulfill whatever the act of crime that I was doing. If I continue to do that, then that which was, past tense, done for me by him cannot save me from the law that will put me in jail again. This is so important. It is so important for us to understand that. Not only did he die for me, but he set a process, his law, that if I follow his law, it will rehabilitate me. So that in my mind, I will not want to do the crime again. Oftentimes we've accepted him, but we don't go through all of the processes of the steps that he's laid out for us so that we will never desire the crime again. But too often, as believers, we expect when we break the law again, we expect the officer to acknowledge that we have a get-out-of-jail-free card called Yeshua. And then we just wave it in his face and he says, you know, continue on your way. And then we continue to break the law. The moment we start breaking the law, then that which was done on the cross becomes of none effect. And that is the act of showing the Father that we do not love him, nor do we love what he has set for us in order to get out of jail and to be rehabilitated and reestablished and reconnected with him. Too often we think it's our words that keeps us out of jail, out of the clutches of the demonic realm. No, it is our actions. It is our actions. We must guard our actions.
Hallelujah.
It is so important for us to understand the ultimate love of God is for us to guard our actions.
Amen.
And to walk in right relationship with his guidelines, his precepts. Continue to read.
Okay, yes. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who
stop
live
right
according
there. Stop right there. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. That right there is what I just said. In other words, and I want you to read that part again, just that part.
Yeah.
In other words, Satan's death, burial, and resurrection dealt with the sin in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did he do it? This is why. This passage, this verse, tells you exactly why, which is exactly what I was saying. This verse says that he nullified it so that now we can walk right in him. So that we can walk right in him. Go ahead and read that again. Because when we walk right in him, then what Yeshua says, it then applies to us.
Amen.
Go ahead.
That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
So it's not fulfilled in us until we walk right. Sometimes we wonder, well, where's my healing? Where's my this? Where's my that? Are you walking right? If you are walking right, then the righteousness of the law is applied to you. And that righteousness of the law is the love of Yah, the love of God. No, he doesn't want you to see you in that state or in whatever state in which you find yourself. But if I am not obedient, I don't receive the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing is connected to my obedience, not to my proclamation or of believing in Jesus Christ or my trying to muster up faith through verbalization. Or imitation. I saw him do it, so I'm going to do it the way he did it. I saw her do it, so I'm going to do it the way she did it. No, it's by your obedience, not only to the Father, but to what Yeshua has laid out. Through their obedience, and we'll end here, but through the obedience, the righteousness of the law. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Paul? The righteousness of the law? Yes. I'm not saying that the law should be done away with. I'm saying that you have to repent, that you have to get things right, that you have to walk in the opportunities that Yeshua has given so that you can receive all the good that being obedient to the law will give to you. Because all the blessings are found in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Evangelist Anita, can you go ahead and send us home?
Yes, I know. Another good teaching, and praise God for that, knowing how to walk right. So for those that are listening for the first time, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to office@bethlehem.org. And, of course, the ministry's name is Bethlehem Ministries, and we have two websites in which you can gather information or research us on. The first one is www.bethlehem.org, and that is BETHHASHEM.org. We have a Facebook page, and it's www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you would please email us at bethlehem@yahoo.com for directions. And for those that are interested in attending Zuhl College for a more Hebraic understanding going in depth, also, if you could email us at office@bethlehem.org. We want to thank you for attending the show, but we also want, for those who feel led or leading of the Spirit to partnership with the ministry, if you'll go to our website to partner to make donations either for the radio or the TV show to help us just spread throughout the world, we thank you for that. And again, that's at bethlehem.org. And thank you, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi King.
Amen. And Father, we just give you thanks. We magnify you right now. Father, we thank you that you've made things simple that we unfortunately have made difficult. You have made the understanding of how to receive your blessings and how to walk in right relationship you so simple. But we have made it so difficult. We have allowed the adversary to convolute truth, to perplex right understanding, and to pervert a pure relationship, a right relationship, a holy relationship. And we ask you to forgive us for that. Our desire is not to live that way, but to live in the abundance, to live in the fullness, to live in the truth. And the only way we can do that is to repent and then begin to submit and commit our way to you. And to not just to commit it to you, but to commit it in the way that you want it to be committed. So that we not only receive your approval, but that we also receive the approval of Yeshua.
Yeah.
So, Father, with that, we thank you for this opportunity for enlightenment. We thank you for this opportunity for just helping us to see. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, to help us to obey. In Yahushua's name, until next time. Shalom, shalom.